Buenos días. Oh, I see that some of you speak the heavenly language. Spanish, right? You know, I was talking with a missionary from Russia, well, and then with another one from Germany, and I was just saying, you know, Spanish is the heavenly language. We will speak Spanish in heaven. And they said, wait. We're not going to speak Spanish in heaven. We're going to speak German in heaven. I said, why? Tell me why. He said, because to learn German, it will take the whole eternity. So I agree. Spanish is a very easy language to learn. And it's not the heavenly language, but I like to believe that. So if some of you might wonder my accent, I'm not from the South, not from South Carolina, but I'm from the South, South America. I'm from Ecuador. And it's a blessing to be here. Once again, thank you so much to the leadership of this church, to Pastor Andrew, for this invitation to preach the Word of God. And I also had the unique opportunity to share with you a missionary update during the Sunday school time. So what I'm going to tell you very briefly in 30 seconds, you know, basically, there's a Bible verse in Romans 15:20, it says, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. When you think about Christianity, there less than 1% of the population in Spain consider themselves evangelical Christians. 0.5. So in order to summarize what the Lord has done it through these past 6 years in Madrid, this morning I shared four key words: learn, love, link, and launch. And this is what our family has been doing there in Madrid. We have learned so much during these past 5 years. We also been praying, Lord, we want to love the people of Spain the same way you love them. And once you learn so many things that Spaniards want to do, like they love to learn English, you know, we connect, you know, like English camps, and then we share Christ's love with them. And right now we are in the stage of launching, you know. So we ask your prayers because we are praying and forming our core group. We are planting a church from scratch. So we are praying for at least 10 families with the same values and passion for church planting in Madrid, Spain. Now, previous, before we serve in Madrid, Spain, we were also leading the short-term mission ministry for War Witness for 6 years. And before that, we were missionaries in Mexico. And the Lord gave us the blessing. I was a pastor of an ARP church in Mexico, but also I had the blessing and the privilege of planting a church in Guadalajara, Mexico. In 2 years, the Lord blessed the ministry there, and the church was planted in 2 years. So we've been with War Witness since 2003. So we've been with War Witness for a long time. And this morning is a privilege and a bliss and a blessing to be here with you all. It's my first time in your congregation, so I'm super excited. I've been welcomed by friendly people, people that I was not expecting to see here. They have approached me and they say hi. So thank you again for your hospitality as a church. It's been a blessing to be here this morning. And again, I'm praying now that the Lord will use the sermon to encourage you. And I pray that he will speak to us. So as we leave this place, all of us, we can say we have heard the word of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles, please, I ask you to open in James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And I'm going to read the first 5 verses. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Greetings. Verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Amen. How do you respond when things are not going well with people at work, in school, family, or people at the grocery store? Your initial reaction during these times reflects who you are. The true character of a person is seen when things are not going well. Late night phone calls, are you familiar with those? Grouchy teachers, especially now that you put your child in front of the computer via Zoom to learn. Grumpy moms, burnt meals, flat tires. You got to be kidding. Deadlines, they aren't big enough to be crisis. But if you get enough of them, watch out. Traffic jams, long lines, especially nowadays, waiting outside with a mask, waiting there, huge line. Empty mailboxes, dirty clothes on the floor, and you name it. But what about with someone that you love pass away? Someone in your family just tested positive for coronavirus. What about if someone in your family is sick? So let's pray together and see what the Lord is going to speak to us through James. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful opportunity that all of us have to open your word and listen to you. Father, thank you for difficult times. Thank you for trials and tribulations in our lives. Because as we will learn today, they have a purpose. So I pray, Lord, that as we are this morning together, that you will open once again our spiritual eyes, that you will open our hearts so we can sense your presence, so we can hear your voice. And as I said before, that as we leave this place, as we leave your house, we can say we have heard the word of the Lord. And we pray in the powerful and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you think about trials and tribulations, all these things that I told you, you know, are pretty normal for us. But before I continue, you know, I would like to explain and share with you all what trials are not. Because there's a confusion many times with what trials are. So what trials are not? Number one, they are not a punishment. A lot of people think when you're punished, oh, because it's a trial. But number one, trials are not a punishment. When you're driving in any highway and you see the speed limit, just to give you an example, 50, 70, 70, you know, 65. What about if you start driving 120? And then all of a sudden you will see the police approaching you, right? And they will give you a ticket. Right? So punishment happens when we break the man's law or the law of the man. Now let me give you another example in Jonah. Jonah chapter 1 verse 3. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found the ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. What happened to Jonah? I'm sure you're familiar with that story, right? He disobeyed the Lord. And where he spent for 3 days? inside of the belly fish, right? So punishment comes when we break the laws of the man, but also the laws of God. Now, trials are not a punishment. Also, trials are not a temptation. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire." So first of all, we have to understand what trials are. So here is the concept of trials. Trials are, here's the definition of trials, a period of extra adversity that come to God's children with the purpose of developing excellent qualities in us. In other words, trials are divine appointments to help us grow so we can become like Jesus. Please remember that. Trials are divine appointments to help us grow so we can become like Jesus. Now, first of all, in verses 1 and 2, we are going to see together our attitude towards trials. So let's start with verse 1. It says here, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings." And first, let me highlight here. James, you know, he's the brother of Jesus, but he introduced himself as the servant of God. And the key word here, servant, means in Greek, doulos. So in other words, doulos is slave. That's the translation, the literal translation. So James considered himself what? A slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he could be so proud and say, hey, I'm the brother of Jesus. But you see how humble he is here? And he said, I consider myself a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another beautiful thing here is how he puts together God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, nowadays, a lot of these false sects like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they deny that Jesus is God. But here, as you can see, he puts in the same level God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, and then, if you want to know to whom he is writing to, here is the context, here's the group of people that he's writing to. He said, to the 12 tribes scattered among nations. In other words, they were Jewish, but they professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, they were going through tough times. They were going through difficult times. You know, in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we see that the church, you know, in the whole book of Acts, we see that, you know, the church was growing. But at the same time it was growing, what happened? They start being persecuted. And in Acts chapter 1:8 says, "And Saul approved of his execution." He was talking about Stephen. "And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all dispersed throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles." So you see, the context is this group are going through tough times. And I don't know how you came this morning here. I don't know, but God knows how you arrived this morning. Maybe you are going through difficult times. Maybe fear. Maybe you are scared. Maybe someone that you love just passed away. So, but God knows that you are going through those difficult times. Now, it says in verse 2, now, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." Now, the word here, joy, you know, in Greek, means an internal feeling, emotion, not external. Because many times we just can smile outside, but inside we are going through something very hard that outside we're just smiling, but inside nobody knows how we're doing. It's like these two planes, you know. One plane is driving here, United and American Airlines, that they can see each other. And American Airlines, the pilot is having a heart attack. You know, so the people inside the plane, they are, oh, you know, the pilot is having a heart attack. Everyone is super scared. The other plane here, United, they are looking through the window, the plane. Outside, the plane looks great, you know, flying there, you know. But inside, you know how the people are. The same happened in our lives. You know, outside, we might be smiling, but we are going through difficult times. So the word joy means, you know, give us the idea that what God asked of us before trials is not only external sentiment or external appearance, but remember, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. So in other words, He is expecting and He is calling and He wants us to have joy, something internal, not only external. And it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. In Greek, the word many kinds is only one word, poikilos. And that means trials of different colors. Give us the idea of various different colors. In other words, in the Christian life, we have different types of trials. Let's give an example. Someone is sick. That could be a trial of color red. Someone passed away in your family. That could be a color black. So it says many kinds. And you know what? Also, brothers and sisters, trials come without a warning. Jesus himself, he said in Luke 10:30, that the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Do you think the man that was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho was expecting that to happen to him? No. Trials happen in the same way. They will come when you are least expecting. You won't be expecting, and trials will come to our lives. My mom, very young lady, she passed away in a very young age. And I had the privilege and also the blessing of leading the funeral for my mom, and God gave me such a wonderful peace through all that time. But you know, sometimes trials come without a warning. We don't know. Now, verses 3 and 4, we will see now the purpose of trials. Now, verse 3 says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, because we know, that means knowing that there is a purpose of God in the midst of trials. And what do we have to understand? Knowing what? Knowing that we are going through that difficult time, knowing that we are going through that trial, according to God's plan. He's in control. Number two, under His care, because He will care for us. And His school, He wants to teach us something. And number four, for the amount of time that He decides. He's in control. So when we read, because you know, that means because He is in control. And what is beautiful here, that He's in control, that we as Christians are called to learn that He is a sovereign God, but at the same time, His love is unfailing. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. He's in control. But at the same time, he promised to care for us. And he says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you." And listen, he will never leave you nor forsake you. So if this morning you are going through a difficult time, be assured that God is not only in control, which we already know, but he also cares for you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with you in the midst of the difficult time that you are going through. And then continues verse 3, "Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Now, the word perseverance gives us the idea of a person who decided to remain in the middle of the trial because he knows that the result of the remaining in the trial will benefit him in personal growth and spiritual maturity. In other words, brothers and sisters, you know when it's raining, right? What do we do when it's raining when we are outside of the building? We run. Hey, an umbrella, and we run inside because we don't want to get wet. The same thing happened during the trials or difficult times. We don't want to be in the midst of trials. We don't want to go to difficult times. We want to run away. But it's like in a school. God, you know, these are divine appointments, and he wants us to go through that time because he knows that the goal of that particular trial is that you grow, that you will become stronger in your faith. It is super hard at the beginning. We don't want to go through those difficult times in life. But it's like in a school, if you want to go from 6th to 7th grade, what do? You have to pass a test, right? If you don't pass the test, you probably will fail the grade. The same thing is with trials. If we don't pass that particular trial, it will be another time where we will be going through that difficult time in order to grow and learn. Now, verse 4, it says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Now, the word mature, this is the word that explained to us the goal of God in our lives, that we grow so that we can become like Jesus. Now, it is very hard, as I said before, to understand that we are going to learn something good in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the difficult times. But if we pay close attention to the Word of God, it says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking anything." And my final point here is, in verse 5, God wants to help us in the midst of trials. And we will see at the end how, you know, God is going to use even the difficult times so we can share Christ's love with others. But let's look first at verse 5. It says here, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." In other words, sometimes we don't know why the things are happening in our lives. I should share with you about my mom passing away, a very young lady. And you know what? At the beginning, I was asking, why God? She was so young. Why? But you know what? My father, he's not a believer. He's a professor of philosophy. I was the first in my family to profess faith in the Lord in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. But my dad is not a believer yet. And now I understand that God used my mom's cancer to soften my dad's heart. Because for so many years, I've been praying for him and I've been sharing the gospel with him. But after what happened to my mom, the Lord used that difficult time so my dad can be more open to listen who Jesus is. And nowadays, when my family, when we go to visit my family in Ecuador, my dad is a different person than he used to be. He used to not let me pray at the table when I just became a Christian. He didn't like evangelicals. But after everything he went through with my mom, now he's a different person. So I'm praying that soon he will profess faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Will you join me in that? God uses even difficult times, tough times, for purposes that we don't understand. I wish my mom still would be with me. She's with the Lord. Praise the Lord that she became a Christian before she passed away. So if we don't know what to ask, why God, why this is happening, that is not the correct question. We need to say, God, what is the purpose? What do you want to show me? What do you want to show me? And as I said before, he's not like a bad teacher or angry teacher asking and saying, hey, why you keep asking me the same question over and over? No, no, no. God said, if any of you lacks wisdom, in other words, in the context of trials, he said, if you lack wisdom, if you don't know why this is happening, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So we need to go to our knees and say, God, please help me to understand this difficult time. I want to reflect who you are because I love you. Now, 1 Peter has the same context, difficult times. And I would like to read 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verses 3:15. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. And verse 15, but in your heart honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. The title of the sermon is Sharing Christ's Love Through Trials. And here, brothers and sisters, in verse 15 is talking about honor your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. How can you honor Christ? With our conduct. So when you are going through difficult times, people are paying attention. Those that are not Christians are looking at you. And they are going to see if you are fleshing out peace, if you are showing joy. And you know what? That is going to provoke questions. And they are going to wonder, oh, my neighbor just lost her sister, or something bad is happening, but I see that instead of being angry, he is with peace. He is with joy. So here it says, but in your heart, honor Christ the Lord as holy. How can we honor Christ the Lord as holy? By the way we respond to trials. So if we flesh out joy, people are going to see that. And that will provoke questions. So my prayer is that through the difficult times that as you're going through, instead of people seeing an angry person, someone that doesn't show peace, someone that is not showing hope, I pray, brothers and sisters, that they will see joy in your life. I pray that they will see peace. And I want to finish with this last story. For 23 years, I've been praying for my brother. And you know, in family, they know you very well, your family, right? They know you exactly how you are. So every visit to Ecuador, I've been fleshing out the gospel to my brother, William. That's his name, William. And I've been praying for him as well. And he has seen how we respond to difficult times. And he knows me well. So this past Christmas, we were able to visit my family in Ecuador. And I said, William, can we study the Word of God together? And he agreed. For the first time, I've been inviting him for so many years to do that. He agreed. And the Lord was speaking to me as I was reading his word. It was very clear that that was the time to ask. So this past Christmas, the Lord gave me the blessing of seeing my brother professing faith in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. By fleshing out hope, joy, peace in my life, he told me he has seen something different in my life. And I was able to, as says here in 1 Peter 3, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. So brothers and sisters, I pray again that the Lord will use all the difficult times in your life so you will flesh out joy, peace, hope, because this world cannot provide that. The world is not able to provide hope. The world outside is not able to provide joy. Only God can provide that to us. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for your word. Thank you so much that you use even difficult times so we can experience your joy, your peace, your hope. So I pray, first of all, for this wonderful congregation, that as they are going through difficult times, maybe they are scared, they are fearful, they are going through a difficult time, they might be lost somebody that they love, maybe someone is sick. You know exactly, Father. But I pray that as they are going through those difficult times, that you will give them a supernatural joy, a supernatural peace, a supernatural hope, Father. And I pray that as they are walking in life, facing trials and tribulations with joy, hope, and peace, that you will use them so others around them that don't know you yet, that they will see Jesus in their lives. And because of that, that they will ask questions. Can I have what you have? What is it, what you have? Can you tell me? Thank you, Father, for this wonderful opportunity to study your word together this morning. And we pray in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's stand up, please, and open our hymns 275, How Firm a Foundation.